Let's stand as we read from the Word of God, Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" This morning, of course, the subject is following Jesus. I will follow Jesus. And you know, that word follow, we use that a lot in the abstract. By that I mean it's something that you can't see. It's something that, you know, you can't quite put your finger on. But if you were asked, "Are you a follower of Christ?" you'd say, "Yes, I'm a follower of Christ." But I want you to know, as it's used in this text, as it's used throughout the Bible, it's not in the abstract. It is something you can see. It is something you can notice. And it literally means to accompany someone who takes the lead in determining where you're going and how you're going to get there. That's what it means to follow. Someone else is determining where you're going and how you're going to get there. So when you say, "I'm following Jesus," what you're saying is Jesus has set the course of my life. He's determined how I'm going. He's determined where I'm going. And it sounds really good until Jesus points out some spiritual truths today about following Jesus. And then, you know, then it starts to realize, well, it's more than just a phrase used casually. It means a lot more than just to say the phrase. And we had one, but to begin with, there was one man who said to Jesus, "I will follow you." This one man was ready, he was willing, but his problem was he was rash. As he said, "I will follow you wherever you go." I want you to think about that statement. "Lord, wherever you go, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." And I believe what happened with this man, if you read Matthew chapter 8, you find he was a scribe. And what happened with this man was he heard the teaching of Jesus. And hearing the teaching of Jesus, it sounded good. And he became excited. And he got caught up in the heat of the moment. So in this excitement of the moment, he steps up and says, "Yes, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. It doesn't matter what it is." You ever been there? Have you ever been to a church service that at the end of that service, you just felt like you could tell the whole world about Jesus? You ever been there and done that? Okay, three of us have. You know what I'm talking about when you get excited about Jesus. This man was excited about Jesus. But when he said, "I'll follow you wherever, whatever, do whatever you want me to do," you just say the word. Jesus said, "Do you realize foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but I don't have even a pillow to rest my head?" Do you realize Jesus did not own a house? He did not have any visible means of support. And what he's saying to this fellow is, now wait a minute. And if you'll notice, he did not say, "No, I don't want you to follow me." He said, "I want you to understand what following me involves." If he followed Jesus in the true sense, he's going to have to give up his old life. He's going to have to live a life where he wouldn't know where he would sleep at night. He wouldn't know where his next meal was coming from. He's going to have to live a life that the only important thing is the will of the Father. That sounds drastic, doesn't it? But that's what Jesus tells him. He didn't tell him, don't follow. He said, you got to understand what you're doing when you say you'll follow me. And as I thought about this, I thought about the way we are today. You see, there is a convenient Christianity, or there is a whatever it takes Christianity. And I want to ask you, what kind do you have? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be this individual that has the mindset of whatever it takes. That's what I will do. Understand, once again, and I'm going to repeat myself, being a follower of Jesus means Jesus decides where you're going and how you're going to get there. Okay? Is that pretty clear? All right. So what does that really mean? Give me your attention. He may call some of you to be a missionary. Chew on that just a minute. He may call on some of you to go to Kenya and serve with James Taylor, the missionary over there. He may call on others of you to go into another state and begin a church. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Oh, Brother Doug, I don't know. He may call some of you to preach, to serve as a pastor of an existing church. Better yet, he may call some of your children to preach. No amens? I think I heard one. Lord, please don't call my kids to preach, right? That's the way that so many of us truly feel in our heart. Do you realize? He may call you to go somewhere else. He may call you to stay at home and be a witness right where you are. You remember in Luke chapter 8 and verse 30, it's dealing with the man who had a legion of demons, and he had cast out those demons, and several things went on. But at the end of his experience with that man wanted to ask Jesus, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to follow you. Remember what Jesus told him? No, you stay at home and tell everyone here at home of the kingdom of God. You don't know what Jesus is going to do. But you must understand that being a follower of Jesus is more than just making a statement, I follow Jesus. It's more than just walking down a church aisle. It's more than just getting into a tub of water to be dipped or to be baptized. It is a life commitment. And whether Jesus calls you to stay here in Russellville or he sends you to the other side of the world, the attitude of a follower of Christ is not my will, but thine be done. Lord, lead me. See, this is bold Christianity that I'm talking about today. He said, Brother Doug, you're scaring me. What if he does call me to do? If he does, I promise you this. The only way you'll be happy is by doing it. Okay? He'll make you happy. We're afraid. No. What we have to realize is that there are sacrifices. And this is a life commitment. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Being a follower of Christ is not just about showing up for church on Sunday, even though I really appreciate you showing up for church on Sunday. Okay? It's about fulfilling the call that God makes upon your life. It's about saying, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, do what you want. Lead me where you want me to go so I may glorify you through the life that I live. Paul put it like this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, it's not my life anymore. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you've got to understand it's not your life anymore. That's what this scribe who said, who spoke rashly, he didn't quite get that. So Jesus explained it to him. Let's talk about the second guy who was willing but not ready. There in verse 59, he said to another, now this is the guy that he didn't come up to Jesus and say, I will follow you. This is the guy that Jesus come up to and said, you follow me. Verse 59 says, "Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" Willing but not ready. Jesus said, "Follow me." And this was a guy who had received a special invitation from Jesus. An invitation, we call it the call to preach. All right? God had made a special call on his life, and Jesus approaches him and says, "All right, come with me." Can you imagine this being handpicked by Jesus himself to preach the gospel? Can you imagine the honor? But his response was, "Let me first go bury my father." In our language, it's, "Lord, I will, but first I've got a couple things to take care of." Now, I've heard this preached different ways, but some people believe that this man's father was old and he was waiting on him to die. I believe a little differently than that. If you go to Israel today, they'll tell you this story. But in that time frame, they had rock boxes called a sarcophagus. You remember you ever heard of a sarcophagus? Well, a sarcophagus, it's big old heavy box. Yay, so big. And it has a top. And when someone would die, they would take that body and put it in that big stone box and put the lid on it. And they would leave them in there 6 months to a year, however long it took. And through the process of time, the flesh would melt from the bones and decay would occur. And after the bones had dried, they would take that body or the bones out of the sarcophagus and put it in the family tomb. Now, if you go over there and listen to Israel, as I said, and listen to the way they explain it, what they will say is that's what Jesus was talking about, or that's what this young man was talking about here. When he said, "I've got to bury my father," he was waiting for the decay process as his father was placed in that sarcophagus. He's already dead. He was waiting to do the final burial in the family tomb. And Jesus sounds kind of rash and bold when he says, "Let the dead bury the dead. You preach the kingdom of God. You fulfill your call." Ultimately, this man's answer was not right now. And Jesus said, "Yeah, right now." What we have to understand is there's always a reason that you can't serve God. But there's never a good excuse. Are you with me? There's always a reason not to serve, but there is never a good excuse. So many times you hear, "I can't right now, but one of these days." Have you ever heard somebody say, "One of these days"? Each year we fill the church positions. As a matter of fact, it just happens to be tonight. But you don't have to worry. I think the list have already been made, and you know, I'm not trying to corner you into anything. But as we fill those lists, you often hear, "Well, not right now, but one of these days." I've often heard people say, "One of these days, I can't do it right now, but one of these days, when I retire, I'm going to get involved in mission work. One of these days, when I get my children raised, I'm going to teach a Sunday school class. One of these days, when I get my life in order, I'm going to get back in church." And you know what the only problem with that is? One of these days never occurs. One of these days never comes. Oh, it sounds really good. And I'm not telling you don't make plans for the future, but I am going to tell you don't hang your hat on future plans, because all you have to do, all you have today is the Lord. Okay? All you have to serve the Lord is today. That's what I was trying to say. It didn't come out right. All right? God has not guaranteed you somewhere down the road. It's so easy to put it off and so easy to never do it. There's never a good excuse, a good reason not to serve the Lord, not to answer God's call. Matthew Chapter 6, verse 31. I love this because it puts things in perspective. Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." How many times have you ever heard people say, "I can't, I've got to," and you fill in the blank? But you, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How many of us worry about the cares, the things of this world? How many of us worry about raising our children and financing the needs of our children and our family? And we get caught up at things we have to do at work. And first thing you know, our life becomes so consumed between the things we have to do and the things that are in the lives of our children, such as baseball, football, and all that good game stuff, that we don't have time for God. And we just back up and say, "Well, I just can't right now." Oh no, what you just need to do is prioritize your life and make God number one. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was not being ugly to this guy. He's simply stating a fact. That guy was going to remain inactive for the next year, 2 years, however long it would take for his father's remains to be prepared to be buried. How often do we remain inactive with the intent one of these days, and yet one of these days never comes? Then finally, not willing and not ready. The last guy. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me first go and bid them farewell." You know what he's talking about here? He's holding on to his old life. He's saying, "Okay, I'll do it, but give me a little more time in my old life. But I will follow you and I'll give it all up." See, we have a lot of folks like that today. They feel like they have to do it, so they do it. But, you know, they're looking back. And Jesus said, that kind of individual is not fit for the kingdom. That word fit, it means to be useful or suitable. You mean there are people who are not useful in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. Why are they not useful? Because you can't depend on them. You can't depend on them. Let me say that one more time. You can't depend on them. There are people that the work of the Lord is not important. Do you realize there are people who, and let me challenge you to take this to heart since we are doing election to teachers and officers and things tonight. Yeah, there are people in some churches who just don't show up to do the position they've had. Why would they not show up? Because they're not dependable. You know why they're not dependable? They're torn between what God has for them to do and what they want to do. When I was a child, when I was growing up on the farm, still love the farm, but we would plow soybeans. And there was one thing that my dad had to drill into my head more than once. You'd go down the row of the soybeans and you'd have the cultivator going down the middle of the beans behind you. And you would set your eyes up front and you would watch where those front wheels were going. And you did not turn around like this. You know why? Because when you turn around and look behind you, the steering wheel followed your eyes. And you would go like that. And then you would turn back forward and you were out of the row. And then you would panic and look back again and you had plowed up soybeans. Now, my dad's a wonderful man. He was a great role model. But there's one thing I didn't want my dad to see, and that was a bunch of plowed up soybeans. Because the harvest wasn't good when you plowed up the beans, right? So you had to learn. Keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes forward. You know, back here didn't matter. It's already gone. Keep your eyes forward. And what I want you to understand about this last guy is that there are a lot of people holding on to a lot of things and letting it prevent them from serving the Lord. Jesus is not a part-time occupation. Does it make sense? It's an all-or-nothing commitment. It's an all-or-nothing commitment. You see, Jesus may not call all of us to be pastors. And I thank God that He doesn't, because, you know, there'd be such competition I'd never get to preach. Jesus may not call all of us to be missionaries. Some people have got to stay here. But Jesus has called all of us to follow. And we're to follow with the attitude of, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever you lead. Jesus may lead you to be a financial participant with a missionary. Don't question. Don't say, why, Lord? Don't say, I can't. You support that missionary. And I can tell you, Jesus is leading all of us to tithe. There's not a question there. Something that God has taught us. It's an all or nothing. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God in anything. Okay? Now, I do. You may say, Brother Doug, are you wanting me to just throw all of my life away and forget it and just dedicate myself completely and wholly to Jesus? Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm asking you to do as a child of God. But understand this, okay? I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to empty your bank account, sell your house. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to realize being a follower of Christ is just to back up and say, Lord, you're number one. I'll do what you want me to do. If you want me to stay here, Lord, I'll stay here. If you want me to support a missionary, I'll support a missionary. If you want me to teach a Sunday school class, I'll teach a class. Whatever you call me to, Lord, I'll follow. I'll do it. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to these people. You can't serve two masters. And there's only one master worthy of serving, that's Jesus Christ. What happens is, in James 1:8, he's talking about prayer and asking in faith. But James makes a very eye-opening comment. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Undependable. You see, and it's not just a matter of the church depending on you or a preacher depending on you. It's a matter of God depending on you. It's a matter of God being able to entrust you to faithfully serve. There is only room for one number one in your life. Does it make sense? Okay? If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, I know we're in the age of easy believism and all that. I understand. But being a follower of Jesus is committing your life to Christ. To let Him lead you wherever He wants you to go, to do whatever He wants you to do. But you got to come to that point where you make a decision. That decision, Joshua come to that point in Joshua 24:15. And he's challenging the people, and he's up there and he's saying, look, you got to decide. And he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, there's no question there. Joshua says, y'all can do what you want to. You can serve these false gods. You can chase whatever you want to. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know, oh, that Christians today would have such an attitude. Oh, that men today, fathers today, would say, I'm the father. I'm the spiritual leader of this household. And I'm not talking about being ugly or being some kind of dictator. I'm talking about stepping up and assuming your God-given role and have this attitude of, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe it'd make a difference. I think it'd make a difference in your family. I have come to figure out that we talk about it being a sacrifice. We talk about being a dedication. But Jesus Christ and dedicating your life to Jesus Christ is the only real joy that you're going to have in this life. Okay? I've said this a number of times. Multiple times. God doesn't want to ruin your life. He doesn't want to take anything away from you. He wants to make your life worth living. I look at it like this. You know, for my children, they're still my children. And I want for them the very best. The very best. That's the way God feels about you. The only difference in that relationship is God is the creator of this universe. And He can give you the very best. He's worthy of our complete dedication. I'll leave you with this question. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If not, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, blessings, and grace. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life that you have given, that you've offered freely to all men. I thank you, Lord, that you are God and there is none beside you. So, Lord, today we just come before you. And I pray there will be a renewed commitment, a renewed zeal among those who are saved, realizing that you should always be number one in our lives, that you should set the course, that you should decide how we get there. Lord, we look to you as your followers. I pray for those who are lost, that today will be the day they come to you for salvation. I pray thy will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you...